Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly with Melissa Hyuk. Now, in 2021, President Biden entered the White House with enormous challenges: the pandemic, an economic crisis, and a hollowed out federal government.
Well, 12 months on, things certainly have not gotten any easier. President Biden entered into the new year with his signature economic plan stalled, vaccine mandates and voting reform efforts rejected, inflation at 40-year highs, and Russia threatening war in Ukraine.
So what's Biden's report card nearly 1 year into the presidency, or 1 year this week into the presidency? And is time running out to impress voters ahead of the November midterm elections? Joining us on the line now to share his analysis all the way from the U.S. is Curtis Chin, Milken Institute Asia Fellow and former U.S. Ambassador to the Asian Development Bank. Curtis, welcome back to Primetime. It's good to have you back with us.
Hey, thank you. Good early morning from New York. Good evening, Singapore. So great to be with you again, Rachel.
Good to have you with us, Curtis. It's been a while, but let's catch up, because President Biden's campaign promises included tackling the pandemic, climate change, gun control, tax policy, and ending foreign wars. What's your analysis, though, on how he's handled these issues 1 year into his presidency?
Well, you know, sadly, as an American here in America, I have to say that really across the board, this administration has faltered. I think, though, you know, you think about any president, once they're in office, they see the reality and the difference between running for office and actually taking the steps to try and manage, you know, this diverse country of ours. It's funny when people say, well, can you give them a report card? Can you give them a grade? I have to say, sadly, you know, it's not an A or a B, you know, let's say hopefully it's a C. But if you look at all those different areas that you just flagged, clearly it comes down for the average American, when you look at the polling, to issues related to, number one, first and foremost now, actually even more than the pandemic, is the economy. And if you think about that key fact you made or shared about the highest inflation in 40 years, I mean, that's what people are worried about. And you're right, it doesn't look good for the president this year.
Would it help is that Biden did get approval for his $1.9 trillion pandemic relief bill that sent money into the pockets of most Americans. And he also had this $1 trillion infrastructure package. Surely that helped.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It helped. So remember when it happened, that first, you know, that first significant piece of legislation helping Americans, they were almost like, you know, people received actually money into their bank account, was early on in the administration. And I think, you know, a president of either party, you know, often they'll hopefully get something done that first couple months of their presidency. And I think that's exactly what happened to President Biden, to his great credit. But ever since then, it's been sadly somewhat downhill. Some things clearly were in his control, some things were not. But I think for the average American, it's like, what have you done for me most recently? If you go back to when the president was talking about how he was going to crush this pandemic, crush this virus, clearly that hasn't played out. A lot, though, remember, is not under his control. Other things were. And so I think that's the challenge right now. High expectations have been dashed. And how is he going to manage those expectations if he is going to overcome what has been really the history of any new president, which is that at that first midterm election, his party suffers. And if we're looking to this present United States Congress, it's so close in the U.S. Senate, in the U.S. House of Representatives, that again, it does not look good for the president come this November or midterm election.
And speaking of setbacks, Curtis, the Biden administration recently suffered two on key policies, vaccine mandates and voting reform efforts. How significant are these for the president?
You know, they were significant setbacks. And each of those, if you think about it, there were different branches of government. So his setback in terms of what was a effort to get companies that, say, had 100 people or more to mandate a vaccine or regular testing, that was thrown out by the United States Supreme Court, so it's a branch. And then in our legislative branch, which on paper, at least, the Democrats control the Senate and the House. In reality, that Democratic control has not played out as of course, the president would have hoped, when they have not acted on key pieces of his you know, hoped-for legislation. One would be actually more recently, just yesterday in the United States was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So we've been blocked in dealing so far with voting legislation, but of course he's also been blocked on his efforts to have, you know, what he calls not hard infrastructure, but more of a social welfare social infrastructure ending an investment bill. So blocked there in the Democratic-controlled Senate.
Well, we actually have numbers that have come in to let us know how Americans are seeing his job performance. This one by The Economist and YouGov last week found that more than half of Americans say the economy is getting worse, while only 15%, maybe top 15% for, you know, say is improving. Now, this comes on the back of inflation data showing that prices surged 7% last year, the most in four decades. Now, on the back of this, might we see Biden change his direction on his policy agenda?
I think if he were, I don't know, surely he's a smart person, but I was going to say, you know, I think if he were smart, he wouldn't. I mean, that's probably a question that for to this administration. But for me, if I were to look at that polling data, what is most important is what we call the so-called independents. So not so much those who were pro-Biden in the beginning or, you know, anti-Biden in the beginning. So these kind of set in the way Republicans or Democrats. It's that vast middle of America, those independents. And when you break down and you look at some of the various poll data that come out, you see that it's that independent block of voters that have swung against Biden. And for me, that is what's key. So again, to your question, you know, would President Biden change some things with regards to his agenda? He shouldn't change what he believes in. But clearly, he perhaps should change in terms of an approach to how we communicate to the American public. He should change in terms of what he's prioritizing. And again, there was one a bit of polling data that asked people, again, what was the most important thing to them? And it wasn't the pandemic. That was number two. It was the economy. So if you look at some of the most recent now jobs data that came out, slowly America continues to build back. But we're right now only, I think the number was something like at 84% of the jobs that we had when the pandemic began. So what is that, 2 years ago? So still slowly building back. And then when you even look deeper into that job data, you'll see we have actually a very important positive number in terms of our unemployment rate, which is now, I think, below 4%. But when you look at the data, you also see that it's because people are now dropping out kind of those jobs numbers, meaning that we only count those people who are actively looking for jobs but cannot find jobs as unemployed. So the data is very mixed, and it goes back to the economic issues, which is what I think Americans are first and foremost focused on.
But it really shouldn't surprise anyone. Wasn't it former U.S. President Clinton, I believe, who famously said, it's the economy, stupid, right, for everything when it comes to, you know, political office?
Yeah, you would think that that would be the case, that we would always think that. But remember, last year, that wasn't the case. It was, yeah, in President Biden's words, you need to crush this pandemic first. And they're so related. Clearly, if we crush this pandemic, jobs and other things, you know, would get better and better faster. So I think when you think about the president's emphasis, you know, is he talking more about his efforts with regard to the pandemic, or is he talking more about jobs and the economy? And so to your question, I think he needs to revisit, his team needs to revisit, what is his focus areas, and really how is it presenting? You know, I think you all know me that before, you know, I became an ambassador and did the various things that now with the milk industry, I was in the world of communication. And one thing we would say in communication is that you can't just win an argument based on rational argumentation. You got to also think about the emotional. And so much of what I hear from this administration, you think, oh, it's great. It's very rational. This is clearly why you need to get a vaccine. If you look at the data, if you get the vaccine, you're much less likely to be very, very, very sick if you sadly were to get COVID. But are you also addressing the emotional side? You know, why is it that, you know, 20, 30% won't get the shot? How do you address that on the emotional side? It can't just be, if you don't listen to it rationally of what I'm sharing, I'm going to mandate it. And that's not how America works from a communications perspective.
So, Curtis, let's cut to the chase. Emotional or rational, can the president revive his popularity by November?
You know, the odds are against him. I mean, always gives him, it's a positive. And I would say, you know, it's still a lot of time. But, you know, it's just not what history has shown come the midterm elections. But again, who knows what can happen? You know, there might be some things that will rally and bring this country together. You know, the president ran on this concept, not just economy, jobs, fighting the pandemic. He ran on this notion that he would be the one that would unite this nation. And sadly, he's failed. You know, there's things working against him. But I say never give up hope. You know, if you give up hope, what do you have left? So very clearly, cut to the chase, odds are against him, but he needs to, you know, keep on trying most definitely.
Well, based on the current trajectory, how are the elections in November looking for the Democrats? They now hold a narrow majority, right? So if they fail to retain that majority, how much tougher will it be for Biden?
Well, it's going to be significantly tougher if you think that right now he has the majority and he hasn't been able to achieve key parts of his agenda. And if you think about if either house flips, you know, people, when you look at some of the projections right now, they're saying it looks most definitely like he will lose the U.S. House of Representatives. The U.S. Senate, it's still up in the air. You know, that's, you know, really all about those individual Senate seats, which are typically less likely to flip to the same degree that the House will. So it's going to be much more difficult. But maybe if that were to happen, maybe it will though lead to really more efforts to try and get both parties to come together. Versus right now, it's as if party in power is just trying to railroad the other. And so it's led to it's led in some ways to more bitterness and more disunity, which is not what this nation needs.
Okay, well, Curtis, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today to share all your insights on and reflections on Biden's first year as a U.S. president.
Thank you, Curtis.
Absolutely. Delight to be with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Curtis Chin, Milken Institute Asia Fellow and former U.S. Ambassador to the Asian Development Bank. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.